Welcome, everyone. This is Mia Ferraletto, publisher of New Observations magazine. Today we have the honor of welcoming Kevin Briggs to our show. Kevin is the author of Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. He has contributed an article to issue number 132 of New Observations on Consciousness and Contact. And he's been interviewed and a speaker at several conferences, including the conference that I organized on the Pine Ridge Reservation this past July. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hi, Mia. Nice to hear your voice again. And thank you for inviting me on your show. It's good to talk about my experiences, and I do enjoy it now. So thank you again for inviting me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. I know that in your previous interviews, you've covered your 56 years of ET contact and your relationship with your ET visitors. And today, I thought we'd get into some new territory in terms of other experiences you've had involving consciousness.
Okay, that's fine, Mia. It'd be different to talk about the different experiences I have had. And perhaps I should start with when I met you at your first conference in Vermont a couple of years ago now.
Yes, almost 2 years ago.
2 years ago, doesn't time fly? But I remember there one of your speakers, David Lewis, speaking about animal communications. And as I'm sure you're aware, as many people are, we love our animals, and we share the time that we have with them. David's talk was about actually communicating with them, and he's able to do that at a very high level. And so I remember after the lecture, we went outside, and there were some picnic tables there, and we all sat outside, and we were discussing the animal communication lecture and drinking a cup of coffee. And then a young girl came down with a lamb, a merino lamb, I understand. And I thought to myself, I'm going to try and practice what David Lewis has said about communicating with animals. So I thought about the merino lamb, and I described it. I said, what a beautiful lamb you are. I've never met a merino lamb. Can you come a little bit closer so I can get a better view of you? Anyway, the lamb, it did come a little bit closer, and then it went to eat a bit more grass. And then I said to it, would you mind, coming right up to me so I can feel your wool? I've never felt the wool of a merino lamb, and I understand it's the best wool in the world. And anyway, a couple of seconds later, the lamb walked right up to me, leaned on my leg, and I was able to touch its wool or fur, whatever you call it, I'm not quite certain, really. And it was just an amazing thing. And I thanked it. I said, thank you very much for, coming up to me, allowing me to stroke you. And then he wandered off, and he was eating some grass. And and I turned around and went back to the conversation I was having with the group. And then I finished my coffee, and I thought I'll go back into the farmhouse kitchen there and get myself another coffee. I got up, and I walked into the kitchen there, opened the door to get the coffee, and I turned around in the kitchen, and the lamb had followed me into the kitchen.
And, oh, that's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. It was a surprise to me. I turned around, and I obviously ushered it back out, and the young girl there that was chaperoning the lamb said he or she's never done that before. That's the first time he or she, I can't remember which it was now, has attached itself to a person, you know. So clearly there was some communication there between us. Again, just from that lecture that David Lewis did. And from then on, I always saw, although I've always been very animal orientated, I see them in a totally different light now, thanks to David Lewis's lecture on the communication. And I have met others now that have the same ability that David Lewis does. So it's quite a common ability, I think. We're just not aware of it, and we don't tend to use it, or perhaps I wasn't aware that we do have it. But I do now, so it's quite interesting. So we're learning as we go along, aren't we, Mia?
Oh, we certainly are. And as David will no doubt tell you and has told everyone, we all have this ability. It's an innate gift that we're born with. We just don't flex that particular muscle very often or until we become aware of it, as you did after David's lecture. We're about to take our first commercial break, and then we'll be back with Kevin Briggs. Stay tuned.
Unknown Country and Dreamland are unique in every way. The site offers over 16,000 news stories dating back 20 years, all of them with our uniquely open-minded and yet carefully researched point of view. You can find stories of everything from lost cities to multiple witness high strangeness events to the cutting edge of science and reality on the site. For subscribers, the site offers a wealth of material that is mind-opening and can be life-changing. Plus, there are active comment sections, both in the free area and the subscriber area, and a free weekly newsletter. Dreamland, which Whitley Strieber has been hosting for over 20 years, is archived on the site back to 2004. This archive is the only one of its kind in the world, an incredible richness of information that offers exciting adventure every time you dig in. So go to unknowncountry.com daily, get our newsletter, participate in the site's social groups, and above all, subscribe and join this unique community today. Go to unknowncountry.com and click on the Subscribe tab to see our options.
And welcome back to the show. So, Kevin, there were a lot of animals at the Verschier Riding Academy, which is where we held our first conference on consciousness and contact in Vermont. Did you have any other conversations with the residents, the animal residents there?
I did, actually. It was quite funny. I think at one point we all went to the back of the property where there was a couple of cows or one cow, and we had a discussion there about animal communication, I think. And this was after I'd spoken to the lamb. So I tried to communicate with the cow and see if anything would happen, and asked him to come over so I could actually communicate with him and talk to him. Anyway, nothing happened, and then the majority of the group disappeared, and I was left talking to Linda Moulton Howe, who was one of your guest speakers there. I understand she's speaking at your next conference in July 23 to 27 this year. And I was talking to Linda Moulton Howe there, and as I did, I spoke to the cow again, and it actually came over. I think it was perturbed by the large crowd of people, but once they had left, it came over, and I was allowed to stroke it. So two successes there. And I have continued to do that in relation to, and I've had some success and some failure. But I can tell you a short story about a dragonfly, which is, again, part of the communication with the insect world, I suppose, as well as the animal world. And one day I went out to the back of my property, and there was a small dragonfly. It was a beautiful green, bluey colour, and it was trapped in some netting we have around our tomatoes. I tried to get it free, and it was well and truly stuck in there. So I went into the house to get some scissors. I got some scissors, and it took me about 5 minutes to cut delicately around the dragonfly. But eventually I was able to free it, and it just, on the last time when I cut the net in, it just flew off and disappeared. And I thought, well, that's good. It wasn't injured, and it obviously going on with its life. And I didn't think anything more of it until later on in the day. I have a couple of dogs, a couple of German Shepherds, and I was out walking with the dogs, and this dragonfly followed me. And it was the same colour, the same size. And after I'd walked around with my dogs, I went to sit on my front porch. I have a chair there and just sit and relax. And this dragonfly flew around through my feet and around my head, and then it flew off. And then the following day, I went out again with my dogs, as I do all the time, and I was followed by four or five dragonflies, and they followed me and flew around me as I was walking with my dogs. And then I went to sit on the chair on the porch, and I thought, I'll ask this dragonfly if it'll come and land on my hand. thinking, you know, I can communicate it with it as I did with the lamb and the cow. And I held my hand out, and it hovered about half an inch from the end of my fingertips. It didn't land on me, but I came to the conclusion that it was the same dragonfly. It was exactly the same colour. And we've always had dragonflies around us, and I've never had them follow me or interact with me, but I suspect it was that dragonfly. And then, a few months later, I was actually pressure washing my driveway, and this beautiful, fully grown dragonfly, exactly the same colours, and it was a large one. It flew around my pressure washer, it flew between my legs, and then it landed on my head, and it did that three times. And I believe it was the same dragonfly. It'd obviously grown into a full adult. I know the adults have dragonflies, but I believe it was the same dragonfly. So, again, communication with insects, animals, and I have another one with birds. It's quite... Now I start thinking about these things. Perhaps have to write another book, Mia.
Well, consciousness flows through all of the kingdoms. It's not just about the ETs or the angelic realms. It encompasses, you know, the animal kingdom, the insect kingdom, the elementals. We're really surrounded by conscious life. And we are now coming into our own, and able to communicate, being aware of the fact that we have the ability to communicate with them all.
Yes, I've come to that realization now. And again, all down to David Lewis and his lecture on communicating with animals. I obviously have the communication with the dragonfly. But I did tell that story to my brother about the dragonfly, and he was very sceptic about it. He took it with a pinch of salt, you know. He knows of all my contact over the years with the ETs, and he accepts it, he understands it, you know, but obviously a little bit of a sceptic when it comes to speaking to insects or animals or whatever. But just recently, I spoke with him, and he said he was sat on his porch, or his balcony. He's actually retired now as a retired aircraft engineer, and he's moved down to Spain. And he lives there overlooking the Mediterranean. And he said one day this beautiful big butterfly flew past him. And he said it was absolutely beautiful. And it was very large. And it flew away. And he asked it to come back. And it flew back again. It flew over his balcony. And then it flew around again. And then he thought of my story with the dragonfly. So he held his hand out and asked the butterfly to come and land on his hand. And it actually did. He was so amazed that the butterfly came and landed. But he'd actually asked it. So I think that although my brother was sceptic, he's open-minded and obviously very intelligent as well. And he put into practice what I had mentioned, and it worked for him. And it's changed his whole attitude now towards consciousness, as it were, as you just mentioned about how we're all connected, all the animal worlds, the insects, the elementals, and the angelic world. So, yeah, quite interesting, really. And now it seems to have opened up a whole new avenue for him. Other people are coming into his life that have an understanding of consciousness now, and they're talking, and he's buying books and reading about it. So absolutely fascinating. And when you think all that came from David Lewis's lecture at your first conference, just an amazing continuation of learning, I think.
Well, what I found to be true is that once we allow ourselves to ask the first question and be open-minded about whatever we might learn, then the doors all start to open one after another, and the magic of the world, you know, the beauty of life starts to reveal itself to us. Yeah. But we have to be willing to ask the first question.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I know we're obviously talking about the animals today, but that's two of the ETs that I've had contact with from the age of eight. I always asked for more information, and they continue to give me more information, and they continue to do that to this day. But now we're talking about the animal.
Well, we don't have to just talk about the animals, Kevin. We can obviously include, you know, the ETs as well. My thinking was just that you've done a number of interviews on the on your relationship with your ET friends, and I'd like to take that as a foundation and explore, you know, other experiences that you've had too. But, you know, in by no means would I cut you off from talking about the ETs.
No, I know that. I appreciate that. But it's quite interesting. Now I'm talking about these things. It sort of brings it all together for me, Mira, which is quite nice. I have another example of my wife and I were at home and we heard this scratching on the roof. We both walked outside and there was about 10 or a dozen of the large vultures we have here. We do see them from time to time, but they actually stood on our roof and walking about, and that was a scratching noise. We went outside of the pool canopy and they flew off. And I've got 5 acres at the back and with a fence and the fence line and fence posts. And they flew over to the fence posts. And they're very big birds. So I thought, oh, I'll go get a photograph of them. And they're all facing away from me into the neighbour's paddock. And as I walked up to them with my camera, the first one turned and opened its wings. And then the second one turned towards me and opened its wings. And then all the vultures in line, in sequence, turned and opened the wings. Now, I don't know anything about vultures. I didn't know whether it was a warning or not. But clearly they knew I was there. They all turned and opened their wings, a bit like a salute, really, I think. I'm not quite certain what it was. I mean, I didn't go any closer. I did get some photographs, and they are some distance. But, again, another connection to the bird world, really. And again, as you said earlier, consciousness connects everything, both the ETs, which are a life form in our universe, and the animal realms as well. So I think once you realize this, then very often I'll sit outside just in the quiet nature, as it were, and just enjoy what's going on around me. And it gives me so much pleasure now because I feel I have a better understanding of who we are in relation to consciousness and the universe itself. So quite fascinating. And again, I keep going back to David Lewis all from that one lecture, you know, so very so fascinating. And I see that David Lewis is speaking at your next conference as well, so I'm sure that will be very interesting for the guests and other speakers there. So, yeah.
He is, Kevin. And before we get into some more stories, let's take our second commercial break.
Whitley Strieber became the host of Dreamland in 1998, and he's still the host today. One of the first podcasts, Dreamland has been built into the premier program of its kind, exploring the edge of science and reality. The show's archive on unknowncountry.com dates back to 2004. Dreamland is a treasure unique in the world.
At this point in this commercial, I used to say that you can't subscribe because we are still in our old website, but that has changed at last. UnknownCountry.com's new website is available. Go to UnknownCountry.com and take a look. It is beautiful. It offers a huge archive, weekly chats, a free message board, all kinds of great stuff. Whitley Strieber audiobooks for subscribers, and much, much more. New stuff coming on the site all the time. So go to unknowncountry.com, take a look, and really open your mind. How do you do that? By subscribing and exploring and having a great time.
Earthfiles.com is Linda Moulton Howe's great website, offering news of the edge of science and reality. Keep up with Linda's work every single day on earthfiles.com. A new world is coming. Whitley has just finished his book about what it's like to live with and communicate with the visitors. He's been doing this for the past 30 years, and since 2015, the intensity of it has exploded. So be among the first to know what living with them is really like and what it will be like for more and more of us in the future. A new world, unforgettable.
It's getting great reviews. Take a look on Amazon. It's available as a Kindle, as an ebook, everywhere else. it as a paperback at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, and as also as a hardcover on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and as an audiobook read by me on Audible.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I'm curious. The vulture is such a symbol, and to have had so many of them in your yard, on your property at one time. At that moment, did you happen to wonder if somehow nature or your ET contacts or the divine was trying to communicate with you in any way?
Yes, I did afterwards. I was, it was obviously such an unusual event. And so I did some research, and then I found that a friend of mine has an understanding of these things in relation to nature communicating with people. And she actually identified it. She said it's a totem, and it is consciousness. It could actually be the ETs connecting and communicating with you through, again, consciousness as a bird. And she said that is quite common. So I take it now that it may well have been the ETs contacting me through another level of consciousness, the birds themselves. So, again, it just opens up your mind to these possibilities. And there are people out there that understand these things, but it's not usually in normal circles of conversation, or not in mine anyway. But I do include it now, and I tell people about it, and it is interesting how others have contact with birds, owls in particular. And if you know, the more you talk about these things, people say, oh, I've had an experience with an owl, or I've had an experience with an eagle, or some other animal or bird or whatever. So I think it is fairly common, and I would agree now that it is another form of communication, yes.
Well, Mike Cleland, who has a podcast on this channel called The Unseen, has done a lot of research with owls and UFOs. There's a wonderful writer who's now deceased, unfortunately, named Ted Andrews, who was a raptor rehabilitator. And he wrote the book Animal Speak, which is a classic, and goes through the different animals, reptiles, and birds, and Ted writes about the totems that each of these species represent in depth. And I know there's a section there on vultures, which you might want to look up. Phenomenal book, and something that many people I know turn to on a regular basis.
Yes, I'll check that out. I know you did mention that before, and when I spoke to you before about this, and I need to do that. That's on my list. One of my to-do lists to do is that. So, yes, I will do that. So, but I have another experience. It's not different, not with animals, this one, but this is with about manifesting something, or manifestations. I lost my wallet about 6-7 months ago. And there wasn't much in there, just $8, but obviously the usual credit cards and my driving license, which can all be replaced. They're just the inconvenience. But I had 4 photographs in there of my wife, Sandy, and I'd had these photographs in. There were various stages of when we got together, just a small booth photographs that you take. And I say I had 4 of them, and I'd carried them in my wallet for over 30-odd years or whatever. I don't know how many years now, a long time anyway, since we met, and we met when we were about 18. I said to my ET guys one day, I said, you know, I lost my wallet, but can you manifest it for me on the kitchen countertop? Not for the driving license or the credit cards or the $8, because of the photographs that I've lost, I would like them to be returned so I can put them in my new wallet. So I know you have all these abilities. Can you manifest my wallet for me on the kitchen countertop? Well, nothing happened. I wasn't surprised. But then a couple of days later, I was going over to Tampa to a small meeting over there with a group of experiencers and people that are interested in UFOs and ETs. And as I'm driving, I did a Google because it was a new place where I was going. And when I normally go over that way, I'll go on the 50 down the turnpike and then continue on that way. The Google took me down to the I-4, and I never go on the I-4 because it's like a parking lot sometimes. You get one accident on there and you can't move. But I did go down that way, and as I was travelling along the, getting near towards Tampa, I saw a sign at the side of the road, and it said toll lanes. And I thought, oh, perhaps there's a new toll lane now. So I reached into my central console to get my transponder out. And as I reached in, I felt this large wallet. And I thought, oh, that's my wallet. Anyway, I didn't pull it out because I was driving. It was very busy. I got to my destination. I parked in the parking lot, lifted up the center console, put my hand in, and it was my wallet. And everything was there, the $8, the credit cards, the driver's license, and the four photographs of Sandy. Now, that center console, I'd searched it on two or three occasions. Sandy had been in to the center console, and I actually cleaned it out. It was full of pens and pencils and things and some time before. And the wallet's quite a big wallet. So I know that the wallet was not in that center console. But because I asked for that manifestation, they obliged, and only they manifested it in my vehicle. And I now have the four photographs in my new wallet. So I did thank them for that. But again, just an experience. Again, like you mentioned earlier, if you ask for things, these higher conscious beings will assist and help you to learn and develop. So yeah, quite an amazing. It was amazing for me because I hadn't tried that before. And I was skeptical myself. But I'm sure they do it on many occasions for other people. So, but yeah, it's just another simple story, but it really reinforces connection, communication, using consciousness itself.
Well, communication starts with us, and I encourage people to explore the power of their spoken word and their thoughts, because those are our two biggest tools in terms of manifesting in our lives. And we are undisciplined and let our minds run amok and let our words run amok. And if we slow down a bit and begin to choose our words more carefully and control to some extent where our mind goes, rather than just go off in a daydream or stream of thought consciousness, to really decide where we're putting our focus and attention and our energy, because energy follows thought and word, we could really make huge differences in our lives virtually overnight. And asking for what we want or need or help or guidance, in my opinion, should be part of our daily lives, just how we interact with our universe.
Yes, I would agree totally with that, Mia. And I think probably my connection to the ETs, I know we have mentioned the my book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, which the ETs asked me to write. But from my first interaction with them when I was 8 years old, and Ort and Dee, that's their names, materialized in the bathroom, frightened me to death. But they were speaking to one another telepathically, and I could understand that. And again, it's just communication using consciousness. But from that age of eight, I then I started asking questions, because I realized that there was a lot more to our reality than we understand. And because I was open-minded and I wasn't told I couldn't do that, in fact, I didn't really share it with anybody, so they continued to communicate with me. They continued to educate me. And I wouldn't be speaking to you today if it had not been for Ort and Dee themselves. A couple of years ago, I'd got up in the middle of the night, and bearing in mind I'm 66 now, and I was 8 when I had the first contact, and it's continued throughout my life. On this particular evening, I got up to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom, I returned into bed, I was just about to snuggle down, and there was a bright light outside the bedroom window, and then the light came in through the window and lit up the whole bedroom like a myriad of butterflies, like sparkling white light. And then Ort and D materialised at the bottom, at the foot of the bed. I'm used to interacting with them, used to seeing them. So after pleasantries, I asked them what was the reason for their visit. And they said, Kevin, we want you to talk about your interactions with us. We want you to write about your interactions. In fact, you will write a book. You will write two books. And I remember saying to them, well, I don't mind talking about my interactions with you, but I'm not a writer. And they said, well, we will continue to guide you. We will continue to teach you, and we will give you some more information to include in the book. And they did. And then I think about 18 months later, the book was published. And now, you know, I'm talking with you on your show. I've been to a couple of your conferences, and I'm continuing to learn even at this age of 66. So, and that's all through asking, like you say, connecting with the universe, connecting with consciousness itself. And the main thread of what they've taught me over the years is giving me an understanding of consciousness itself, you know, and even an understanding, a scientific understanding of consciousness and how it can be used for communication, for travel, for creation itself, even manifestation. I've got an example of that now with my wallet. So it's just amazing how, and I do agree with what you say, we need to take time to, we all live busy lives, we have jobs, we have family, we need time to have a quiet moment, to sit out in nature and allow the information to come to us and be grateful for the our lives that we have, that we are creating using consciousness. So it's really opened up my whole life in relation to now speaking about my experiences, and I'm meeting many others that have similar experiences, and people that even contact me now and say, Kevin, I've just read your book. I've have many similar experiences, and I have never spoken to anybody. So it was a light at the end of the tunnel, shall we say, for them. And A, speaking to someone else, it's, I'm quite comfortable about talking about it. And, you know, they read the book, and it helps people. So, and I'm sure that's what you're doing with your conferences, Mia. You're connecting with people, and we're all being educated to higher levels of consciousness. So,
Well, it's interesting because the first conference that I organized in Vermont almost 2 years ago in May of 2018 was organized because I wanted to meet like-minded people. I'd been, you know, having these experiences my whole life and, have always had, you know, extensive gifts in a variety of areas in terms of healing work and manifestation and other psychic abilities, as well as ET contact and animal communication. But I wanted to find kindred spirits, which is what motivated me to organize the first conference. And 25 years ago, when I started talking about all of this, a psychiatrist friend of mine who was a Kundalini master, he's now deceased, Lee Sinella, said, you know, be careful because people are afraid and will misinterpret what you're saying and you know, really, it could cause you problems if you decide to openly discuss these experiences. And my feeling at the time was that we needed to be open and willing to discuss these experiences in order for the taboo to be broken down, because we're spiritual beings having a physical reality, and we need to share what we've learned, you know, how we've grown, how we interpret things. You know, going back to Lakota culture, we are storytellers. Man is basically a storyteller. So to share is how we all learn. And now you know, this is all becoming mainstream 25 years later. Donald Trump is in the State of the Union talking about, you know, travel to Mars. So we've come a long way.
Yes, again, I would I agree in totally with you, Mia. It would have been taboo many, many years ago to talk about these subjects. But now there are more and more people being asked to speak out, as I was. And it's now, as you say, in mainstream media, which was unheard of. And anybody speaking about these interactions and things would have been classed as delusional or whatever and probably put on some meds. But now many speaking out about it. I go to different groups and meet with different people. A lot of people are very academic, and but they have these experiences themselves, and they're speaking out about them. And then the ETs are like the part of it as well. So, and again, you couldn't talk about ETs before, but now we have programs on the TV. They do appear in the mainstream media from time to time, and but it's helping us as a species to grow and develop, and hopefully we'll come to a better place in the future because of all this knowledge now that's been shared. And it's open, it's out there. All you've got to do, as we've said before, is just ask, and they are here to assist, whether it be the higher conscious beings, the ETs, the angelics, even the elementals. They're all different realities, but they're part of the one reality, the one consciousness. So, so exciting times ahead, I think, Mia. And as I say, I wouldn't have met you. I mean, that was a changing point in my life, meeting you and meeting the other speakers. And a lot of them have become friends, and we still keep in contact and things. So it's, So I'd like to thank you personally on your own show.
My
your
pleasure,
radio
Kevin.
Show.
we can thank Whitley for this program. Thank you, Whitley. I think it's interesting too, Kevin, that you and I share the same birthday, February 2nd.
Yes,
and,
we know that is a coincidence.
Which is Groundhog Day, talk about another totem.
Yes.
And it's also Imbolc, which is the point at which we are halfway between the darkest day of the year and spring.
Right.
So it's a time when the light is balanced, the light and the darkness are balanced. And you have talked about this in other interviews, but February 1st and February 2nd in your communications turned out to be an important day. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. I know that some of the ETs that I have contact with, and I have a group of eight that I interact with now on a regular basis, and two of those eight are Ort and Dee from the age of eight, when I met them in the bathroom. So, yes, but they're wanting to communicate with more of us now. They're wanting to communicate with our government representatives and things. But and they did give me a date of February the 1st just this year. And there's been more and more mass sightings leading up to that date and some more mass sightings after that date. And I asked them what was important about the February the 1st. And they said, Kevin, it's February the 2nd. That is a significant date. It will be the first dawn of a new humanity. And as you said earlier, things are escalating. Things are speeding up. And I believe that date of February the 2nd, 2020, is very important. So, and we'll see a continuing increase in communication with the ETs, a continuation of learning about consciousness itself, nature, animals, and some of the things we've discussed today.
Well, I think it's interesting also in relation to Whitley's new book, A New World. We're on the threshold of a new world if we can take it, if we're strong enough to take on the responsibility of what that means, what is involved in this tremendous expansion of consciousness and awareness and our own abilities.
Yes, again, I agree with everything you're saying, Mia. It's just amazing. And I know we've mentioned Whitley now a couple of times, and he gave me a copy of his previous book, The Afterlife Revolution. And that encompasses, his wife who passed and the communication they still have. And it's quite funny, I went out with some friends yesterday from the UK, and they had a daughter that died young, and we touched on the subject yesterday, and they've had direct communication from the from their daughter that passed, and I wasn't aware of that, although they're friends of ours. I know they read my book, and they brought up the subject in relation to being able to communicate with our past relatives. And again, it's just using consciousness and having an understanding that there are different levels of consciousness. And once you understand that and you're able to use it as communication, it broadens up who we are. And I would agree again with you when you say we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And if you understand that, it makes life much easier down here, because it's not, sometimes it's very difficult, but to have this knowledge and understanding does make it easier. So, yes.
Well, continuing to bring Whitley into the conversation, we had an interesting experience on Pine Ridge in the car that you were driving as we were headed to the Badlands National Park Saturday early evening around 6:30 or so. And that trip was the time when Whitley had his second experience of a vision of an alternate reality that was taking place simultaneously. But we also had an extraordinary event happen, which I personally felt was a huge gift to me, because I was really the only person who saw it. And that is, the car was surrounded hundreds of pink and golden angelic orbs, and they accompanied us the entire 25 miles to the Badland, and there were 30 or 40 of them inside of the car dancing around. And Faith Holmes, who was part of the conference, saw one or two of them, but I was able to see all of them. And unfortunately, I didn't turn around to look at the other cars that were in the little caravan going over to the Badlands, so I didn't get to see if everyone was surrounded. But you felt it, didn't you, Kevin?
Yes, there was a change in, so I would say, the vibrational frequency within the vehicle, and everybody's mood was elevated. And although I didn't actually see the orbs or the angelic beings there, but clearly you were describing them and you could clearly see them. But I have had some experiences of seeing orbs and things in my home. In fact, just recently I had, after our last conversation, I had four orbs appear in my living room, and three of the orbs were green in colour, and one was a red one. I've never seen a red one before. I've seen a blue one, yellow ones. And this red one separated from the other three green ones, moved along my patio door, and then moved back again and returned to the group of four. And that's the first time I've seen. Now, whether that was an angelic orb or not, I don't know, but it's the first red one that I've seen. And I know that we had some friends around not so long ago, and we were just doing a meditation, and my wife decided she wanted to take a photograph of the room. I'm not quite sure why, but she took three photographs of the room, and when we looked at the photographs, the middle one had five large orbs quite clearly on the photographs. So they are about all the time, and obviously we probably interacted with them by doing the meditation, and they probably came to join in and I'm sure orbs, it's a whole different topic, and I know people, there are many experts that understand the different types of orbs, the colours, the sizes, and whatever. So I'm not an expert on that at all, but I do see them, which is interesting and the fact that my wife actually, I'm sure she was guided to go and get the camera and take a photograph. It's not something she's done before, taking a photograph of an empty room because we were just stood at one side. But to have the orbs quite clearly seen there, and they were quite large as well, and you could make out some features in the orbs. So, yes, so they are around. It's just different levels of vibrational frequencies that we exist at within this physical that we are creating. We are co-creating it using consciousness and thought energy.
Absolutely. I think also that we're kind of finding each other as a group, which is very exciting, to form a support network and share information and experiences.
Yes, and I think that's very important. I now speak to different groups and things. In fact, I went to one on Saturday, and there are people there that they come along because they've got these experiences, and there's no one that can talk to, nobody understands it. But then when we get to a group, there's about 30 of us, and we all have different experiences. And I know there's one lady there, and she was saying, I have like two lives now. I can come here and speak about my experiences, but at work I don't talk about them because they'll think I'm delusional. But here I'm very comfortable, and other people have similar experiences. And as we share, there's a definite increase in the vibrational frequency within the room. And on Saturday, I had one guy sat next to me, and he just had an operation on his back, and he was still recovering. And he said, Kevin, he said, I can feel the energy in this room. I feel much better for just being here and interacting with these higher vibrational frequencies. So, and it's good that we are getting together, and we're being drawn together. I personally feel that I should go somewhere or do something or connect with somebody, and other people do the same. So, as you say, we are all being connected now, and that gives us a support group in relation to speaking out about our experiences and things. So, yes, I'm very excited for the future. I'm hoping humanity will continue to evolve and develop with the assistance of the higher conscious beings, the higher realms of consciousness. So, exciting times, Mia.
Well, since your birthday is 2-2 and we're in the year 2020, do you have any particular insight in terms of the year ahead? We're almost in March, hard to believe.
Yes, it's going by very quickly. I was just thinking about that myself this morning. No, all the information I've been given is that they will, from the ET point of view, they will continue to show more mass sightings. In fact, someone sent me an email yesterday of James Gilliland Ranch, and he's had several mass sightings now, and he's putting the information out there. And then someone else sent me another mass sighting from somewhere else. So, and they also told me that they are going to continue to connect with individuals, more individuals. And I met a lady last week who was given her first download, a download of information about the quantum unified field theory, about quantum mechanics, the theory of everything. And she was just amazed by it. She's never had a download before. And although she's interested in the subject and everything, but I found that I've spoken now with many experiencers who are given the same information as downloads. And it's really given us an understanding of consciousness from a scientific point of view. I think we need to understand that. But amazing that, as I say, they're contacting more individuals and they're giving more mass sightings. So we'll continue to develop, and I'm sure it will speed up. So I think 2020 will be an excellent year, yes.
I agree with you. I think we're in for a lot of very interesting events, and I'm looking forward to snow being gone. I'm currently in Vermont, and the year to fully get underway. Do you have plans to write another book?
Well, I was writing a second book, I know Orton D said I would write two books, but I was contacted by Ray Hernandez from what was formerly the Free Foundation, but is now changed that and has a new institute, and it's the Consciousness and Contact Research Institute. And what he's been asked to do is to bring the leading scientists together and with the experiences. And he's now in the process of writing a 3-volume book, and he asked me if I would contribute a chapter to that. So I condensed my second book down into a 70-page per chapter for his book. But very interesting the fact that he has a list of all these academic professors and things from the different universities who are contributing their understanding of consciousness and the different modalities of contacts, you know, about dreams, telepathy, downloads, out of body, channeling, near-death experiences. There are experts on those, our scientists have an understanding. So they're contributing. And then he's asked several experiences like myself to contribute. So it's really bringing the two together. We're merging the sciences with the paranormal, shall we say. I don't particularly like that word. I think it's all normal. It's all normal to me. But, yeah, so in answer to your question, I don't have a second book now because I condensed it. And I think Ray said that his book will be coming out in September now this year. So, but I felt honoured to be asked just to write a chapter for him. So, yeah. So, in answer to your question, I don't have a second book now. Perhaps I'll have to think about writing another one on a different topic.
I'm sure your guidance will point you in the right direction. You seem to have a lot of activity at your home. I know your wife Sandy has taken a wonderful photo of a ship and a rainbow that we included in New Observations magazine. Have you had any interesting sightings lately?
Nothing particular, no. No, I haven't, no. That particular sighting with the rainbow was quite fascinating in relation to the fact that I was trying to contact the group of 8 ETs that I'm able to communicate with, and I actually spoke with a small craft of 6 or 7 greys that were travelling past our home. And I asked why they were in the vicinity, and they said that they wanted to come and see where we lived. And I knew the ET that was flying the craft. I'd met him before. His name is Tia. And we had some brief interaction, and then they said, we'll have to leave. We're off our designated flight path. And they flew off. Nothing unusual for me, communicating with the different beings and things. But then when I went to get my coffee and sit outside with Sandy, who was having her cup of tea, she said, oh, you missed the most beautiful rainbow this morning. I said, oh, did you get a photograph? And she said, yes. I said, oh, that's good. And then she said, but then a UFO appeared under the rainbow. I said, did you get a photograph of that? She said, yes, I did. She said, I was outside taking a photograph of the rainbow when I looked up, and then the craft just appeared. She saw it as a full metallic disc, and then it disappeared shortly after. But she clicked the iPad and got the photograph. It's a little blurred. I suspect they just showed themselves to Sandy so that she is aware that they are here, that they are around. But the interesting thing was, when I was speaking to them, it was 8:30. I looked at the clock, and then the time on the photograph was 8:30. So it was the small craft I was speaking to that was being piloted by Tia. So that's the level of communication and consciousness that they're using to communicate with people. It's just amazing. And to me, it's fairly normal. And it's nice that they've included Sandy in this, because Sandy is aware that they are here. There's one of them particular that moves her personal items around the home. And I asked him why he did that, and he said he liked teasing her. He thought it was funny, but there was a serious side, and the serious side was to let Sandy know that we are here, we are amongst you. So And there are many others having similar communications and contacts. So, like I say, exciting times, Mia.
Well, for anyone who wants to see Sandy's photograph, you can go to the New Observations website, newobservations.org, and go to issue number 132, which has Whitley's communion painting on the cover. It's the consciousness and contact issue. And scroll through the issue until you find the photo of the rainbow with the craft flying underneath it. It's quite amazing. And I think it's interesting that Sandy's being included in all of this. I think it's great. You're converting your family members.
I would agree with that. And I think it's, they do that, obviously, there's a purpose and a plan for that. Because I couldn't do this. I spend a lot of time now talking to people, meeting people. And without Sandy's support, I couldn't do that. So
absolutely.
That's one of the reasons. And I get her full support in most things that I want to do. Not everything, but most things that I want to do or would like to do in relation to this. So, yes, so that. But I've heard of others, family members, where you have one experience in the family, and then they are showing themselves to other members. So, again, it brings the family together, and it helps with the transition to a new world, which is, as I say, beginning this year, and it will continue, I'm sure.
Well, I think as more children are born and holding on to their psychic abilities, the psychic abilities that they're born with, families will be more open as well. I'm 2 years younger than you are, Kevin. I'm 64, and growing up as a highly intuitive child, I would say all kinds of things that the following week would happen, and nobody paid attention.
No.
You know, it just, I was one of five children and my parents were, you know, swamped, and a lot of this stuff just got swept under the carpet until I was in my 20s and my abilities became more pronounced, and then they started to notice. But as a child, it's so easy to just completely disregard what's going on with the consciousness of the child, and that will help shut it down over a period of time, or it could help shut it down, depending on the child. So we want to encourage as much as possible for children to be able to remain clear channels.
Yes, I would agree. And I think because I think Mary Rodwell has done a lot of work on this, on the new human, and brought it to the attention of the public, as it were. And now we're paying attention to the children who are coming out with this information, with these psychic abilities. And if we listen to them, that's the human species changing, developing. It's a new evolution, or continued evolution, I believe. But now we are listening to them, as you say. When we were children, if you did speak out about these things, I know when I first spoke to my mother about Orton D materializing in the bathroom, she said, "Kevin, it's just your imagination." And that was probably the standard reply for most parents at that time, because if they hadn't got their own experiences, how would they know? They wouldn't. So, but now we are becoming more open, and hopefully things will change in the future for the better.
Well, also, we were pre-1960s. We were pre-Woodstock and, you know, the New Age movement and Timothy Leary and, you know, ayahuasca and all the tools that people are currently using. Not that I'm, you know, supporting the use of drugs. I don't think you need to take any drugs to have these experiences.
No,
but, you know, we're children of the 1950s, so much has opened up since we were young. And I think a lot of parents are more attuned to gifts, individual gifts that their children come in with, which is fantastic.
Yes, and I'm sure if the children are encouraged, I mean, how far can they develop? And they can change our whole evolution by the information that they have, the contact, the psychic abilities, the higher levels of intelligence even. So a lot of artists and musicians, and they're all at that higher level of consciousness, and hopefully, again, we will continue. We can see that. I can see the changes in our society now with the people that I meet, and I'm sure you're the same with that, Mia. And we are becoming more and more acceptable, even experiences like you and me. People are accepting the fact that we have these experiences, and we are speaking out about them, and we're not delusional. It's part of who we are as a human species. So, yeah.
Well, I never understood how people could think that we're alone in the universe, that Earth is the only place inhabited. It just seems so arrogant to me.
Yeah, I'm just closed-minded, really, I suppose, at the end of the day. But we are, I have found, since I've been talking out about it, my social circle of friends, a lot of interest in the subject, but they don't speak about it because, again, it's like a taboo subject. But now that I speak out about it, many times the conversation will lead that way, and they will ask an open question in relation to it. You know, what the ET's doing now, what's happening here, what's the latest, anything else happened to you, Kevin? And they're doing their own research, and it's become a topic you can speak about, which is a move forward in itself, I believe. So, like I say, a very interesting time, really.
Well, we owe so much to the internet and the new ability to share information as a result of having YouTube and Vimeo and all these other platforms in which the average person can reach out and share. Phenomenal.
Yes, the information is out there now, and obviously we probably had to wait until we had the internet, because I know when I was a child, I tried to find more people that had the same abilities as me, and I wasn't able to do that. But you can go on the internet now, and you can research dreams, telepathic communications, downloads, channeling, near-death experiences. It's all out there with experts. So if you're interested in any of these subjects, or you have these own experiences yourself, you can do the research. You have to be discerning, obviously. The information is there. We couldn't have done that without the internet. So perhaps we were waiting for the internet to be part of the technology that we needed to be able to develop to the next stages. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, the internet is part of the Age of Aquarius, and that's where we're at right now, entering the Age of Aquarius. So a lot will change and open up, and, you know, consciousness, Aquarius is the mental, the higher octave of thought. So a lot of things about consciousness will expand just as part of our growth and evolution. We're in that time now.
Yes,
so
I'm
Kevin,
sure.
Sorry to cut you off there.
Okay.
Is there anything else specific that you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
No, I think we've covered most of the topics. It's been a very interesting talking to you and talking about different subjects that I haven't spoken about before. So that's been very interesting. No, I just think that we are moving forward. The ETs are going to continue to show themselves, mass sightings, contacting more individuals. So, yeah, we'll just move forward and see where it takes us. And I'll say there are many, many working towards this. So, yeah, it's very exciting times, I think.
Well, I encourage everyone to read Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. It's a great book. And Kevin has his own website and a blog also, if I'm correct.
Yes, I have a new website now. It's www.kevinj.briggs.com. And I've uploaded some interviews I've been involved with. And there's a lot more information on there beyond where the book Spiritual Consciousness goes. And in fact, one of the, there's several interviews on there now. I'm going to upload another one today, hopefully. So people can get more information both about the book and about my experiences, and I hope they enjoy it.
Wonderful. And your bio and photo and book will be included along with this interview on the New Observations homepage.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Kevin. It's been great talking to you.
No, thank you, Mia. Thank you for inviting me on your show. I mean, it was amazing to meet with you and go to your conferences and things. And you, I don't think you realize how it changes people's lives when you go to your conferences. You meet other people, you get supported, and we all grow together. It's an amazing community. So thank you.
Well,
I do appreciate it, Mia. Thank you very much.
We are on our journey.
We are, yes, that's true. So, and I'm sure we'll speak again soon. So,
absolutely. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.